Welcome to the Christchurch London podcast. This is a talk from our Stockwell service. To find out about upcoming talks at each of our services, or to listen to other talks, please visit christchurchlondon.org.
It's really good to see all of you again, and this is our first Gift Day Sunday, where we are talking about it, and then we will do the offering over the next couple of Sundays, and you will see a little piece of paper on your chairs for you to bring home, just a way to think about this and consider and pray over it. And we do this annually. We have this gift day, and this year we are looking to raise 175K to be able to continue and develop what we do as a church. And this is, of course, across our six services. And this has given me a chance really to think about it. So what are we part of, and what have we been part of in this journey that we have had together as a church over just around 20 years? So since the start of this church, we have planted six services and three charities. And well, this was the latest one of the services that we saw on the video here. And just think about it, hundreds of people have come to faith, thousands of people have been discipled over the years, and many of them are now spread all over the planet, and it's quite interesting from time to time to receive messages from these people talking about what it meant to them to be part of Christchurch London. We had such a message just this week passing by where someone in South Africa who was actually part of this service, she left 3 years ago for South Africa. Now she's working for a church there and wants to bring a piece of Christchurch London into the ministry of that church. Isn't that wonderful? So in that way, what we are part of is being spread around the world as well. So recently, I read an interview with the chief coach of the organization organizing lawyers and academics in Denmark. So the people he is coaching would be kind of the people who are top of the game in Denmark, at least. They are the ones who have kind of won in the lottery of life. But then he said to them, in this interview, he said, what these people are looking for, it's really not career advancement. What they're looking for is not how they can increase their salary. To his surprise, actually, he said what most of them are looking for when they come for coaching is, how on earth do I find meaning in this life? I find that interesting. Not surprising, really, but still interesting. They are in part of one of the top two most happiest countries in the world. We were just beaten by Finland again this year, but came in on a very big second place. It's one of the richest nations in the world, and on it goes. And still, these people on the top of that part of the world, there's something profound missing, and they are looking for it. And I believe that what they are looking for is actually what we are going to share today, what we are going to focus on, what we are going to talk about, to live our lives in a meaningful way, which also means that I get to spend my resources, money and other kinds of resources, in a meaningful way as well. It has to do with something about giving ourselves to something which is bigger than us. That's really what it is about. We never find meaning unless we give ourselves to something which is bigger than us. I was reminded of this verse in Proverbs where it says that above all else, guard your heart. Do you remember that verse? Above all else, guard your heart. And as I was reflecting on it, I realized how much money actually is part of that, how I spend the money, my money. So as I read the Bible, and as I have experienced it personally, there are four ways of giving, and they are all having a huge effect on our hearts. Number one is the well-known tithing, and tithing has a way of keeping our hearts right with God. He is Lord, He deserves everything, and we practically declare that He is the owner of everything, that He deserves our obedience when we bring our tithe. It is as simple as that. Then there's what we call alms in the Bible, giving to the poor. What does that do with our hearts? Well, at least I have found that it keeps my heart warm when I do that. I don't have to think about it too much. It's just a right thing to do. It needs to be part of my life, and it does something well to my heart. Then there is giving as a way of offering thanksgivings, which actually keeps our hearts joyful because we are reminded of the grace that we have received ourselves. So sometimes it's not a prompting. Sometimes it's not an act of obedience. Sometimes it's simply a way of showing my gratitude of everything that I have received myself, and I give out of thanksgiving. And then the fourth one is giving to vision, which is the one I'm going to focus on today. So what does it do to our hearts to give to vision? Well, in my experience, it grows our hearts big. It simply enlarges our hearts. So I believe that all these ways of giving are for everyone, for all of us, at all times. Even in the times like the ones that we have right now that we are going through, where many of us in different ways feel squeezed in life with the cost of living crisis and all the other kinds of crisis that we read about and then we feel the effects of ourselves. So, in the midst of that, we have a challenge sometimes with the way that we look with our vision, I have found. Vision is about seeing. It's actually the direction we are looking in. And I had an experience of it this morning. So I'm carless this morning. Mette is driving our family to the airport. So I'm both wifeless and carless. And I'm still making the call which one is the worst. But I'll tell you. So I had to take the bus. And as I came to the bus stop, there were several people waiting there. And they were all looking at the same direction. So I did the same as they did. I turned around, and then we were all just looking down a very, very long road. Quite boring vision, so to speak. So it's just cars coming our direction and no bus there. So there was really nothing encouraging to be looking at. And suddenly it dawned upon me, why am I standing here looking with the rest of these people in this very, you know, boring direction? Then I turned around, and in front of me, I kid you not, there's this beautiful park. It's Wimbledon Common. And exactly at that spot, if you're standing there, the view is actually breathtaking. So many different shapes and colors. It was so beautiful. A real contrast to just looking at that direction at all these cars coming my way. And then just turning like that and having a completely different vision. And sometimes it is like that. Sometimes what we need to do is actually to turn our hearts, our inner vision to be looking at a different direction. So the vision I will be focusing on this morning is even more beautiful than the vision I saw at the bus stop, because this is the vision of God that we will be looking at. What does He see? What is His view? What is the direction that He is looking at? And I'll do it under two headlines. One is, well, it's two questions, very basic ones, why and what. So what is the big why behind the vision of God? And the key scripture for that we find in John chapter 3, verse 16, where it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So if you ask the question, why God? Well, this is the why. This is what He's driven by in everything that He does. And He is inviting us to be part of this, to love the world, to give Jesus to the world, so that people may get a chance to know Him, to see Him, and experience the reality of Him. So this is the answer to the why that we find in the heart of God. He does it out of love. Paul says it like this. He says, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. So we are invited straight into this big why of God, and he says, you get to be part of that. What's in my heart gets to be in your hearts as well. Like you, I'm sure I have a number of role models in this area myself. One of them is a guy called René. I'm actually due to talk to him this afternoon. He's one of my oldest friends back in Denmark. And he really loves to share the love of God with people to a point where I can feel that it becomes a bit uncomfortable. So I love being out at a restaurant with him, having a good time and sitting there, and then we are chatting. And then suddenly René will be looking over my shoulders and he gets this look in his eye. And in my on my inside, it goes, oh no. And then René says, Lars, I believe I have a word for that couple. And I would typically reply, René, I need to go to the loo. So I kid you not, he would go to the couple, I would go to the loo, because I dare not see what comes out of that situation. But typically when I come back, he sits there at the table, all smile, or he's still in a conversation with that couple over there at the table. And he would tell me, you know what, Lars, this word was just what they needed. And I was like, oh, here we go again. So he's just carrying this love for people. So he's not afraid of being rejected or ridiculed or anything like that. I mean, if you look in my heart, you would see a love for people as well. But also a desire to carry it even more. So maybe there is not always this strong sense of love for other people and this strong sense of, oh, I need to give Christ to them even more. But I know the desire is definitely there to carry that love and to carry that burden. And maybe you are the same as me. There is help to be had when it comes to our hearts and the love in our hearts, which is my consolation. Paul puts it like this. He says, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For me, this is wonderful news. I don't have to produce this kind of love myself. I have found out I can't. It's not enough to wish it. I need help. That's just how it is. But here we find the help. There's this wonderful Holy Spirit that God is giving to us. And in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and in the equipment of the Holy Spirit, there is love. It touches our hearts. So we need the Holy Spirit to touch our hearts. I know I need it to soften our hearts, to renew our hearts, to wash away any cynicism, any sense of emotional fatigue, any disillusion, and to make us dare to be burning with love again. I think that is an important point. Because sometimes we don't dare to be burning with love. And sometimes we need the help of the Holy Spirit to come back to a place where we dare to be burning with love again, with all the risks involved in that. I think this is why we again and again find any excuse to pray this prayer, Holy Spirit, would you come? We need you, Holy Spirit. Some of us were at a conference in the month of March. It was our Everything Conference. And we had this amazing day with all sorts of inspirations throughout the day about God's vision, actually, for this world and how we could be part of it on many different levels. And then we ended the day with Pastor Agu, that some of you would know about, being invited to the stage to kind of finalize the whole thing in prayer. And probably I shouldn't have been surprised, but I was surprised at the way he was doing it. This, I mean, physically, he's a really big man. Bit scary, actually. He's so big and look quite, you know, he's got muscles there. And he's a great man of God as well, a very strong, authoritative figure. But as he came up there, there was actually more like a little child standing up there. Some of you will remember that. He was just pacing back and forth on the stage. And he said, God, we need you. God, we need you. Father, Father, we need you. We can't do this without you. Jesus, we need you. Jesus, would you help us? Holy Spirit, would you come? Holy Spirit, we can't do any of this without you. So here you have this guy who has such a resume of things that he has been part of in his life, But as he was standing there like a little child saying, I can't do any of this without you. And my experience as I was in the midst of this, I had a tiny part of my brain saying, how does this add up? I hadn't seen this coming, this big, great man of God, suddenly being this little child up there on the stage. But the rest of me was just enjoying the whole thing. As I sensed this waves of the God's pressing coming over us again and again. So obviously, this had the, how do we say that? God liked what he heard. And he was definitely in this. It was him agreeing with us, saying, yes, you need me. And I like when you know that you need me, then I will meet you right there. So we pray our way into love. We actually need to. Without this prayer for the Holy Spirit, it's not going to happen. Our hearts will not be burning with love. Without us seeking God, seeking the Holy Spirit, the help of him, our hearts become hardened by living life here. It's just how it is. So maybe our hearts were soft at one point. Maybe they were burning at one point. We need to keep it there. We need help for them to keep burning. So we pray our way into it, but we also act our way into love. And in my experience, being part of a gift day like the one we are part of now actually does something to my heart. It brings me back into the place of right priorities and into a place of my heart becoming soft again. So love is the big why driving the vision. So then, of course, the question is, what is the big what? What comes out of this love? And in Luke chapter 4, we find some very famous words of Jesus, where he says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is the divine view. This is the view to the park, so to speak. This is a beautiful view where you see good news being proclaimed to the poor, freedom being proclaimed to the prisoners, where you see blind recovering their vision, and where you see oppressed people being set free. And there is nothing as beautiful as seeing this thing happening. It's such a beautiful sight. This is what Jesus came to do. This is what he invites us to be part of. And just notice again how Jesus starts the proclamation of his vision. He starts by saying, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me. In other words, without that Spirit of the Lord, without that anointing, it's not going to happen. That is part of what is happening here. So, like we need to be, Jesus needed to be driven by the Holy Spirit. Jesus, as the Son of Man, who had chosen to become flesh for our sake, he was dependent on the Holy Spirit as we are. So when we are kind of engaging with this vision, when we are engaging with the gift day, we are not energized by a moral obligation. We are not running with these big shoot machines or engines inside, which kind of govern our actions and our initiatives. No, we are driven by love, empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's where we come from. This is what our community is about, and this is what we want it to be about. This is what we want to be driving our giving. So when we are part of this gift day, and when we do the offering next Sunday and the Sunday after, this is what needs to be behind it. This is basically what you said as well, Shaninga, introducing the gift day. It's about what's going on in our hearts, the decisions in our heart. So, diving a little into this vision of Jesus, he came to proclaim good news to the poor. St. Francis said it like this. He said, always preach the gospel. Use words if necessary. Some of you would have heard this quote before. Now, we as a church want to be good news to the poor, as local communities, but also as a church. Not only by supporting social action initiatives as we do, but being a community that embraces people from all different kinds of walks of life. Now, I believe that we are good news in the way we lead our lives in the local neighborhoods where we live, each one of us. I know most of you guys, and I kid you not, I would love to be your neighbor. I think you are good neighbors. I have no doubt that you are. And as a church, I believe we are good news to the city with our night shelter, with our food bank initiatives and community cafe and our support of other initiatives as well. It's wonderful to be part of. But at the same time, I think many of us has a desire that it may grow even bigger than that. We want really to be good news to the poor of this city. Jesus came to do that. And he invites us to be part of it. And he came to proclaim freedom for prisoners. And of course, this is a huge topic, freedom from prisoners. It's one of my favorite ones, but I will only speak about it with a few minutes today. It's personally what I really love to see is to see when people experience the freedom coming from an encounter with this divine love of Jesus Christ. Now, there are all kinds of different prisons, and I believe that we are aware of that. And the most common ones are the ones that we carry on the inside, and I believe we are aware of that too. In a room like this, where we are a certain number of people together, there would be a number of prisons represented in this room, prisons that we carry on the inside. Jesus said to his followers that if we remain in him and his word remains in us, then we shall know the truth and the truth shall set us free. What does that mean? Well, it means that there is an answer to those prisons. They don't need to stay there on the inside. There is a way that Jesus has prepared for us. And as many of you know, I'm quite involved with the STEPS courses, and this is basically what the STEPS courses are about. We are taking our inner prison, we are naming it, and then we are more or less bombarding it with the words of Jesus in many different ways over a period of 3 months. And when people sometimes ask me what is the secret behind STEPS, then my first reply would be, I'm not sure what it is. I probably don't know, but my best guess is that this is what it is. That it's what Jesus talks about here, remaining in his word, that we allow his word to massage this inner prison until it has to give, until it has to yield, and for his word to take over that place in our hearts. And just to give you a few examples from the course that was just finished, and it was actually led by Adam and Lou here, so it's very close to our community. And here are just a few sentences out of many sentences coming out of that course. Someone said, it has helped me to live a better life. A life I'm more proud of, happier in, and closer to God for it. One said, it's been transformational. Another one said, it's just been brilliant. I have changed a lot. Someone said, I like me more. I am at peace and I'm able to entrust things to God. Someone said, this is making real deep changes to who I am and setting me free to be who I am made to be. And someone said, it really helped me to start again and to deal with fear. Now just think about it. These are just very quick sentences, aren't they? But there's a whole life between each one of these sentences. And there's a whole group of people surrounding this life that is represented in one of these sentences. It's quite amazing. This is part of what Jesus came to do. He came to preach good news to the poor and proclaim freedom for prisoners, and we get to be part of it. And finally, he also came to proclaim recovery of sight to the blind and to set the oppressed free. It's an amazing package that Jesus has for us. It's a full vision. And we know that Jesus did invite his followers to be part of this. He said to them, go heal the sick and then preach the gospel to them. In my lifetime, I've had the privilege of ministering alongside some what you would call healing evangelists as part of my ministry in Denmark. And some of these people saw hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people getting healed. So I was fortunate enough to be very close to it, like this distance. I saw it in front of my very eyes, these amazing miracles taking place. And of course, I was fascinated by the whole thing. And I was able to tap into their stories and ask them questions about, so how did this ministry develop? How did you start? What happened? And typically they would say something like, well, at the start I had to pray for 100 to see one person get healed. But now it's more like 10 people to see one person get healed. And then they would say, but if it's this kind of sickness, I just have a particular faith to see healing for this kind of sickness. So it's almost like 90%. So it's quite interesting, isn't it? So what they basically said is, this is a gift from heaven, but you need to exercise this gift. You need to keep doing it. You need to keep praying for the sick. So Helen and I have agreed, we will pray for the sick today. We won't just talk about it. But as we end our service today, there will be an opportunity for those of us who are sick to be receive prayer. But not only that, it's not just the healthy one praying for the sick ones. It's actually all of us who can pray for people who are in need of healing. Also, if you are sick yourself, remember that. These promises are for all. And then finally, to set the oppressed free, which of course goes into the whole spiritual realm of us sometimes experiencing spiritual strongholds in our lives, things that keep us captive on the inside. So when do we experience these kind of strongholds where it feels like this is not just a psychological problem, this is not only a thing happening inside of my emotional life or in my thought life, it almost feels like an evil external force at play in my life, and it just hits me at the worst moments in my life. What's going on there? And of course, again, this is a huge subject, and there's really no science about why does this happen and when does it happen. There's not even a strict biblical narrative for it either. But what it seems to be a common kind of Christian experience is that when we are born biological into this world, we have a natural defense system against evil things generally. And also against the spiritual influence, the evil spiritual influence. But sometimes gateways are being made into our lives. And it typically happens when some of the natural healthy boundaries to some degree have been violated in our lives. And that can happen by external thing happening to us. It can also happen by us allowing ourselves to get into anything that becomes excessive in our lives. That seems to be a gateway for something where it gets out of our control. Something that replaces the attention and the focus of our lives, the place that only God deserves in our lives. And when that happens, we actually need help to break out of it ourselves. And there are three things that we need to do. We need to admit it, we need someone to pray over us, and then we need to practice a new way of living. And again, as we are finalizing our service in not too long, we would love to pray if that's you. And I would just put it like this, it's on my heart today that no one leaves this service without having a prayer, if that's you, experiencing freedom from oppression if that's going on in your life. So if that's you, could you tap me on my shoulder? I would love to pray for you. As I've been praying for the service, that has been the sense that God would be doing some of that today, and I would just love to pray for you. So all of this, plus many more words could be put to it, This is the vision that Jesus sees. And could we just imagine this? In front of our own very own eyes, this thing happening. So if we take our gaze away for a moment about all the things that needs to be happening this week, our budget and the things that need to be sorted out, all the practicalities of life, the bus that may be coming down the road, it may be a little bit late, and how will I then get to, and all the rest of it. And then just turn around a little bit and just look at the vision of God, what He has called us to be part of. And then go back to that and say, Jesus Christ, that's where I want to live my life. That's what I want to be part of. So this, for us as a church, is where we want to live. It's this sort of life we want to live together. It's the ministry that we want to see grow in us as individuals and in us as a community. Can I have the band come up, please? Now, of course, money is a huge part of this, because where we invest our money, we invest our hearts. That's just how it is. And so for some of us, we are quite trained in this generous lifestyle. We are being reminded of it every Sunday. We read the giving liturgy, and it's just been part of our life for quite some time. So if that's you, we are typically looking for the promptings. I know that's how Meta and I, we do this. We don't ask, should we give or not? It's more like, God, what are you saying to us? Where do we land the amount? And we are simply listening. And typically, we come up basically with the same amount. So we've seen that happening over and over and over again. For other of us, it would perhaps be more about a decision about, do I fully want to be part of this community? Is this where I want to put down my tithe and say, that's me. I join in with the vision of this church. And again, for other of us, maybe this is a time in our life where it's more about where we will invest our hearts, where it becomes part of our nurturing our own hearts, and we know something needs to be happening with my hearts, and probably this needs to be part of it. In that way, giving is super practical, but it's also super spiritual at the same time. It keeps our hearts right with God. It keeps our hearts warm. It keeps our hearts joyful. And it grows our hearts bigger. The amazing thing is that God is our provider. He doesn't really need us. But He invites us anyway, because He wants us. He wants to commune with us in what is important to Him. And that's really what this is about. Why don't we stand? And just two prayers now, and then we will be part of worship. So one prayer is just simply a prayer about our heart in terms of where we are as a church, with the gift day and so on. So fully up to you whether you want to partake in that prayer. But the prayer I want to lead us into is, let this be a heart thing. Not a duty thing or anything else, but let this be a heart thing. And for God to speak to those of us who wants to hear Him speak to us about this and our part in it. And the other prayer is more going into the ministry that Jesus is doing all the time, and that He's inviting us into even today. So Father, I thank You for Your beautiful presence this morning. I thank You that You are here with us. Thank You that You love us, You care for us. Care about our hearts. You see our hearts and You really care about them. It's the first thing You're looking for when You're looking at us. Not our position in life, not our wealth in life, not our competence, the first thing you're looking for is our hearts. And Father, we just pray for a heart moment where our hearts are being enlightened by you, your Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Father, would you teach us about our hearts this morning? Would you speak to us, for those of us who long for it? Would you prompt us also when it comes to this gift day that we are part of now? That it becomes a decision of our hearts, to what degree we are part of it. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, I pray. So for some of us, there's this thing about daring to be burning with love again, which is actually the dominant thing that God is speaking to you about today. And I believe he says, don't worry. He will do the work. You don't need to do it. Just allow the Holy Spirit to wash over you as we are in this time of ministry. Allow the Holy Spirit to wash over your heart, and he will be ministering to your heart. Your heart was designed to be burning with love, like the heart of God. So don't give up on it, but go back to the place of the burning heart. And we pray for power to heal the sick this morning, that the presence of the Holy Spirit will include the power to heal the ones who are sick. And I pray for you who are sick that now you will receive faith for healing, or at least faith for receiving prayer for healing, because you may have given up a little bit on that. So Holy Spirit, for those who have given up on faith for healing, would you just touch gently our hearts and stir us, I pray, today. I thank you, Holy Spirit. And for those of us who are carrying an internal prison, and we hate the fact of it, so we try to shy away from the truth of it, but we do know that it's there. Jesus is here to set you free. He came to set the captives free. He doesn't want you to be in any prison. That is not on his agenda for your life. Freedom is on his agenda for your life. And Holy Spirit, I pray for faith to receive prayer for those who are in that situation today. In your wonderful name. Let's praise him.